Word today, uncover the treasure in our field. Amen. Well, today's word, I entitled it BYOB. And that stands for bring your own bull. Had you worried there, huh? I'm going to talk about sacrifice. First, let's turn to John 15. I've been rooting around in John 15, and the Lord started talking to me about it. And we'll start at verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Well, I've always kind of thought that what that verse, lay down his life for his friends, kind of corresponded to what Jesus did for us. You know, he sacrificed himself. But I looked up the Greek for the word lay, and the Greek says to put or place. It doesn't say anything about sacrifice. In the body of Christ today, there's a lot of wrong relating. I see it. I mean, we all see it in our own lives. We don't relate to each other the way Christ wants us to. And there's so often that people will sacrifice their will in order to do good to somebody else. And I don't really think that's what God wants of us. I believe that to put or to place our lives for our friends is to be open, available, present. And that means a lot of things. But I'm not going to get into that. We read in Ephesians 4 that Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay, now look at that carefully. That's in, let's see, it's at the end of Ephesians 4:32. It starts at 32, but that verse is 5:2. But it says, he gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He didn't sacrifice, he didn't give himself as a sacrifice to us. He gave himself as a sacrifice to the Father. We're not meant to give ourselves as a sacrifice to anybody. Okay? Do you see that? Look at how Jesus treated people. I mean, there's so many examples. You know, did he do everything everybody wanted? No, he didn't. Remember that time he was about 12, I think, and his parents went to Jerusalem and took him to the temple. And then they were in a caravan of family and all that, and they're making their way back to wherever they lived. And look around, and there's no Jesus. Well, he was still back in the temple. And his mother scolded him, right? Was he a bad child? What was his response? Yeah, I'm about my father's business. He was doing what he knew he needed to be doing. There was another one I liked. Okay, what about when he sent his disciples out on a boat into a big storm? Was he being mean? No. He was exposing them to a greater reality. all of the things we go through, is God being mean when bad things happen to us? No, life happens. But can you hear the whisper, the quiet breeze of what he's saying in all of that? How about when Jesus let Lazarus die? It was very traumatic for Mary and Martha, and it might have been for Lazarus too. Something to ponder. But if he hadn't have fooled around and gotten there late, then this great thing that happened, this reality of what his life is all about, wouldn't have happened. So if we respond to people's needs around us by sacrificing ourselves, we may be thwarting what God's doing in their lives. Okay? It's hard to watch somebody go through it. I don't want to get in the way of God.
That's right.
You know, are we tiptoeing around, trying to do the right thing, not step on anybody's toes? Or are we eating of the tree of life? What's our reality? Okay, so we talked about our posture toward other people a little bit. Let's look at what real sacrifice is all about. It's a little different. I'm talking about our posture toward the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Does everybody know that? I think we've been over that once or twice recently. But let's see what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, that word sacrifices, what's the Greek there for that word mean? Slaughter. That's a kind of a gruesome word, huh? Slaughter, or an animal slaughtered. Have you ever seen an animal slaughtered? Ever dressed out a deer or a goat or a pig or anything like that? Right on. Can you see yourself like that? No, we don't want to look at that. It's offensive to us. Sacrifice is offensive to us. That's probably why God wants it. What's his motive? Does he want to just hack us up so we're a pile of pieces? I don't think so. Will we allow him free access to our inner parts? See, if we go back and look at some of the conditions of sacrifice in the Old Testament, we're going to understand a little more about this, I think. So we may come back to this. Let's go to Leviticus 1. Where is that thing? Oh yeah, there it is. So Leviticus 1 is instructions about the burnt offering. So let me give you a little background on this. The burnt offering is a voluntary act of worship or devotion. That's beautiful, huh? That sounds just like worship. So it says here in verse 3, if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect. Well, in other words, a perfect specimen, right? And how does that pertain to us? I know that we rarely feel perfect. And we're going to go back to Hebrews 10 and look at that in a minute. But we know that he has made us perfect already. That's why we can be offered as a sacrifice to him. So when the person is offering a burnt offering, they have to bring a perfect animal. The person offering the burnt sacrifice is the person that brings the animal in. Okay? He presents it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering and will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He is to slaughter the young bull before the Lord. So the person bringing the sacrifice slaughters the bull. Nobody is going to make you present yourself to the Lord as a living sacrifice. No one can. It is your option. It is your love for the Lord. He is not going to force you to do that. We come willingly. We can only bring ourselves. We can't bring anybody else. We can't manipulate anyone else into this, and nobody can manipulate us. It's very important how we relate to one another. You know, we look around and we see needs. Right? It's real easy. But in God's sight, he looks around and he sees perfection. So the only one you can really see is me. You know, we can see me, and that's the one that we bring as a willing sacrifice to him. I love that. So he is to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides. So the priest deals with the blood. The priest sprinkles the blood on everything. Everything is covered in the blood. Everything is made holy by the blood. And that's how we are too. That's how everyone is. His blood covers the earth and all the inhabitants. So the offerer is to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. That's verse 6. So I would suggest you carry a good knife with you, because you never know when you might want to approach the Lord and you got to cut something apart. You know, last night I just came into something and I noticed that my insides were spilling out, and I just had to go to the Lord. And I told my wife, this is how I feel. And once I spilled it, and acknowledged it, then God started showing me what was going on. It's awkward. I don't like it. But this is the way it is. So then the sons of Aaron, the priest, are to put fire on the altar. Fire. What's that symbolic of? Yeah, purification, the Holy Spirit. Put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. Then Aaron's sons, the priest, shall arrange the pieces, including the head and the fat, on the burning wood that is on the altar. The person offering it is to wash the inner parts and the legs with water. That's a beautiful metaphor there. You know, in the New Testament, it says we're washed by the water of the Word. The Word in our inner parts washes us. And the priest is to burn all of it on the altar. All of us given to the Lord, not select parts. It is a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. I start thinking about that too, and I'm not sure how pleasing of a smell that is. You know? Because it's burned to ash. So, you know, fat, bones. And I think the organs were in there too. I'm not sure. It's not very pleasing to our nostrils what we have to go through, huh? But it's okay. It's a beautiful thing. Do we trust him? Jesus' sacrifice was prophesied in Isaiah 53. He said he was silent, as a lamb led to the slaughter. Look at our own experience. How silent are we when we're experiencing this? Not very, huh? We complain about what God's doing in our lives. We should be quiet and thankful. We all feel this need to be spiritual, but we don't realize that we are. We're already there. I don't think the word unbeliever should exist, at least not with respect to this way. It should be like the unawarer or the in denialer, you know? Because God is here. We're just not aware of it. We're not aware of him. We're not aware of him in our daily lives. We're not aware of him in others. We're not aware of what he's saying to us. The power of a living word from this podium, besides the Spirit doing the work, is because it's reminding you of what he's been telling you all week. It's just repetition. It's not some groundbreaking revelation, I don't think. I mean, maybe when David talks, but not when I'm up here. It's just review. And that's what I feel every time. It's just review. It's what he's been saying to us. So what's the really good news? I mean, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the good news, right? What's the good news? I mean, besides the fact that I surfed twice this week after a dry spell of 3 weeks, that's very good news. God has come to man. He's wiped away the stench of our sin. He's bridged the gap. He's brought us into the throne room, into the presence of the Father. We're there. There is no struggle. There's awareness. There's awareness of what he's done and what he has said. If we're working at this, we're not aware. You remember in John 15, he says the thief comes in through the back door or over the fence. There is no other way but just to be aware of what he's done. So that's the good news. The bad news is sickness, disease, family, work, church, tithes, offerings, you know, obligations, ministers, you know. I mean, there's issues with everything, if you want to have them. So if you want to be spiritual, just offer yourself a living sacrifice. That's really the only thing we can do. We can't have this religious attitude where we're bringing everybody else in. They've already been brought in. By one sacrifice. That's right. We're supposed to go back to Hebrews 10. Thank you. I almost forgot. Okay. Where'd they put Hebrews? It was here, but I lost it. Oh, there it is. Okay. First of all, let's look at Hebrews 10. 8. Okay. Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now see there, it says in verse 10, we have been made holy. If we're not holy, God can't live in us. We didn't have to get holy. We've been made holy. We've been made holy. And then skip down to verse 14, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Hey, is that a contradiction? No. We're made holy, but in our experience, our experiential life of the Spirit, we're being made holy. See, our position before God, we're holy. But he's working that into our lives also. So that's how it's playing out. But isn't it wonderful that we already have the title You know, when you have your, who's had a child here? Okay. When your son or daughter was born, you called the person your son or your daughter, right? Which has title. That baby had no awareness of it until it became an adult. It was a legal heir as an infant. Had no awareness of it. Are we like that? Perhaps. Live life open, available, and present. There's no work to be done. It's finished. That's what Jesus said on the cross. It's finished. Boy, we don't believe that one. That's a tough one for us. You know, what did Jesus say? When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you brought me a file. I don't know what he said about that part. But it's just being present. It's going to lunch with somebody and just listening. It's not buying them lunch necessarily. It's not talking to them about coming to Living Springs necessarily. It's just being present. It's so easy. There was this one sister that I haven't seen for a long time, and she and her husband pastored the Living Word Church I was in Honolulu. And I got together with her a couple of weeks ago. She called me. She was on her way down. And I went out to see her, and then she came the next day to my studio. And there was no work to be done. I just went there and I was present. And she left my shop and drove back to Santa Monica with her friend. And she said she cried the whole way because God did something. God freed her heart. She felt rejected and unloved and unlovable. You know, the way the whole walk thing went down, it was a real mess. And she wrote me and said, I know I'm loved. It wasn't anything I did. I was just there. It was something God did, a sovereign act. It was so beautiful. We all want to see that more and more in our relationships, right? So we lose the ulterior motive. We don't have to fix anybody. The only thing we need to do is offer ourselves to Him. And, you know, like it says there in Hebrews 10, in verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. So day after day, we offer ourselves to Him. Thank you.
I'm here this morning to hear this word, to receive this word. I'm not going to add to it. Father, thank you.
Thank you.
For your life, for feeding us. Amen. We're dismissed. Amen.